And so, Lord God, I pray that you would help us as a church session to listen well to what you desire, Lord, to do with this money, that we would honor you with this offering given today. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to listen to your word preached, and that, Lord, we would obey, and that we would be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Read about a... I don't need it. Yeah. Preach the top right off the pulpit. That's what I said last night. I got to remember this comes apart. It's collapsible. Yeah. I'll fix it. Okay.
There you go.
There we go. Now I understand why I worked for the moving company all those years. It all fits together. Well, like I was saying, I read about a young minister that interviewed for a pastoral position at a church. And on the board that did the interviewing, there was this old Irishman, worked hard all of his life, and now he was part of the interview committee. And so the young minister sat down, and the old Irishman looked him right in the eye, and he said, "Young man, did God send you here?" And the young minister said, "Well, actually, I'm not completely sure. I just wanted to stop in." He stopped and said, "I asked you, did God send you here?" And the young minister said, "Well, sir, I'm not exactly sure." He interrupted me again. He said, "I said, did God send you here?" And finally, the young man, he got up the courage and he said, "No, actually, I just wanted to stop by and see if perhaps maybe this was the job that I should be in." And the old Irishman said, "Well, good. Because the last four all said that God sent them here, and we had nothing but trouble with every one of them." Now, do you think that God sent any of them? Or do you think that God was speaking through any of them? Do you think that any of those people heard his voice? In some circles, "God said" has kind of become like the evangelical Christian trump card. I mean, if you're going for a job interview, God is a pretty good reference, especially at a church. "Well, God told me I need to work here." And yet, you know, maybe God really did. I mean, maybe he was speaking to some of those people in the story. Maybe he spoke to the board member. The Bible does say God speaks to his people, and he does kind of send everybody everywhere in a way. How do I know God's voice? Or maybe he's not speaking, or maybe I'm not one of his people. You ever thought that? I mean, for a while in my life, so many of my friends were just saying, "Well, God told me this, God told me that. Well, God said, God said," and it was just like, I think he's one of the voices in your head. And you can just pick it out, like his voice is deeper or Jewish or something. And I couldn't figure it out. I like my little son Coleman when he was about two. I remember I watched him one day. He had his fingers in his ears because we had told him that Jesus was in his heart. And he was screaming at Jesus. He was screaming, "Jesus, I can't hear you! I didn't hear anything!" And that's how I feel all the time. How do I hear his voice? Over the years, I got suspicious that some folks were just taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, the third commandment doesn't mean no cussing. It means don't use God's name for your own purposes. I mean, there are people that would never ever say the phrase "God damn," even though it's in the Bible, and it appears that many things are. They would never say that phrase, and yet they would very easily say, "Well, God told me to buy the new Buick." Taking God's name in vain is why Old Testament prophets were stoned if they were wrong. That's why when I preach, I use a lot of I think and it seems and maybe and perhaps. And that's why I'm so glad I live in the new covenant covered by God's grace. So if I mess up, you don't have to kill me after the service. But even so, to say God said was just serious business. And yet some people, according to Scripture, are supposed to say it. And if God tells you to do something or say something and you don't do it or you don't say it, you're being disobedient. And you see, all of that, I don't know about you, but for me, it can just be kind of stressful. God, was that you talking to me? Did I hear you correctly? Was that you? Oh, am I a chicken? Was that what the deal is? God, when are you speaking? Did I miss God's will? Did I mess up his plan? Or did I speak too quick? And now I'm going to have to get stoned. Be stoned. So many times, you know, just confused about God's will. They actually used rocks back then, so it was a lot more painful. But so many times confused about God's will, I've just prayed this prayer time and time again. I've said, God, if I am on the wrong path, would you please just break my arms? Just break my arms or something, because God, I don't know if I'm hearing you. God, I don't even know if I hear you at all. Several years ago, I was at a Denver Link lunch meeting for area pastors, and I sat by this black, inner-city, old Pentecostal pastor. And so, you know, those are the guys to ask. I asked him, well, how do you hear the voice of God? I mean, because, you know, I'm not exactly sure I hear it. And I remember he leaned back and he looked at me and he said, well, young man, that's a strange thing for you to say, because John chapter 10, it says very clearly, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And just then they called the meeting to order, and his comment just hit me like a punch in my spiritual solar plexus, my gut. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, maybe I'm not a sheep. For my sheep hear my voice. I realize now that for years I avoided John chapter 10, terrorized by that question. And so let's look at it this morning. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. This is the New King James Version. Most assuredly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, said Jesus, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I'm telling you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the door. In those days in Palestine, it was common for the sheep to be put in pens on the hillside where the pastures were green, where they'd gaze. But these pens had walls, and yet they had no gate. And so the shepherd would oftentimes just lie down in the gate to the pen, and he himself would be the door or the gate to the sheep pen, the sheepfold. Jesus is the gate. Whoever enters through him somehow is the shepherd of the sheep. And yet Jesus is the good shepherd. So it's almost like he's in those who come truly in his name, and the sheep will hear his voice through him. Verse 8. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling, and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling, the hired guy, flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, these other sheep. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Verse 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And now that whole thing, if I'm reading it correctly here, is in the indicative tense, not the imperative. That means this is just the way it is. Not the way it should be or could be or might be, but the way it is. Verse 27, Jesus just says, my sheep hear my voice. Not my sheep really ought to hear my voice, or, you know, my sheep could hear my voice if they just tried harder, or my sheep might hear my voice, but my sheep hear my voice. Not if you hear my voice, you're my sheep, but my sheep hear my voice. And so I got to ask, am I a sheep? Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yep, I did that. Romans 10. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I believe. Help my unbelief. See, according to Scripture, I'm a sheep. And that means according to Jesus, I hear his voice. Verse 26, 27, Jesus seems to equate believing in him and hearing his voice. And you see, that's pretty significant, because most sheep tend to think that following Jesus was simply just, you know, a great idea on their part. They figured it out. Jesus says, nope. God gave you to me. My sheep hear my voice. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples, he asked them one day, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say Elijah, some John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, and they're all wrong. So Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter spoke up and he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And imagine Peter was thinking, I figured it out. I got it right. For Jesus looks at Simon and he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for you are sharp as a tack." No. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." If you're a follower of Jesus, it wasn't merely because of a Josh McDowell book or a junior high camp speaker that was really good or your mom and dad's great example. It was because you heard the voice of the shepherd, and you heard it because God gave you to the shepherd. So then we all who follow Jesus hear the shepherd's voice. Did you know that? That's weird. What does it sound like? What does a shepherd's voice sound like to a sheep? Well, I have done some cutting-edge scientific research in my secret laboratory under the church. And I have found out what the shepherd's voice sounds like to a sheep. This is what it sounds like. Ready? It sounds just like this. Blah 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 fluffy. Blah 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 blah. And sometimes to older sheep, blah 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 blah. No, blah 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 fluffy. Blah 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 blah. Come fluffy. Blah blah blah. You see, this is the revelation. What my scientific discoveries have discovered. And that is that sheep don't understand language, but they know the shepherd's voice. Like verse 4. The shepherd goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because he gives good directions? No, because they know his voice. You'll notice that the shepherd does not give them a map. That's what we want. God, tell me exactly when and where and how many steps and how I'm supposed to do it. You tell me, you lay it out, give me the map, I'll do it. But the good shepherd goes where he wants us to be and calls us. And when we go to where he is, he's already there, working. Now, to a sheep, I imagine that the voice of a good shepherd that cares for it must be kind of like the voice of peace. Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule," or literally umpire, "in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ call the shots." Anytime a sheep wanders from the fold into a porn shop, or a wicked conversation full of gossip, there must be some kind of deep absence of peace, and the sheep realizes why the shepherd's not speaking here. Shepherd's voice is very critical for Palestinian sheep because the terrain changes constantly as they cross hills and valleys looking for green pasture. So they don't follow a map, a plan, a guidebook. They follow a person, the shepherd. You see, they need more than their own ability to reason. They need the shepherd's reason. In fact, that's one of his names. Reason, logos. In that time and place, the shepherd didn't go behind the sheep, driving them. He went in front of them, calling them. So many times I feel like a driven sheep. Well, then it's probably not the good shepherd that's driving me. I'm driven by fear, but I'm called in love, by love, in hope. 1 John 3, we are the little children of God. When my children were toddlers, this is what they heard. Blah, 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 Becky, blah, 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 blah. And she would come, not in fear, but love. When my first child, Jonathan, was born 5 weeks early after incredible trauma. I mean, he was like cone-headed, black-eyed. He was laying under this table, under these lights. I know it's tough on moms, but man, being born is so hard, you just blank it out. He was just beat up, and gosh, it had been 24 hours of labor. He's crying, and I remember the nurse walked in, and she saw me, and she found out that I was the new dad. And she said, "Speak to him. He knows your voice." And so I remember I walked up and I said, "Jonathan?" And like that, he stopped crying. He knew my voice. And my little boy had peace. With Becky, having learned, I drew a smiley face on Susan's stomach, and I'd speak to her stomach at nights when she was pregnant with Becky. One night, I remember I used indelible magic marker. She had a doctor's appointment in the morning that was kind of embarrassing. But you see, in the womb, my children knew my voice. Martin Luther said, "This world is like a womb, and we are children in the womb." Imagine what my voice sounded like to my children in the womb. It wasn't a voice in their world. But when I spoke, everything in their world moved, vibrated to the sound of my voice. They knew my voice, and I would call them by name. Jesus said, "The shepherd calls his sheep by name." Each name is unique, and you have a unique and individual name and relationship with the Good Shepherd. Some here hear him very well through their heart, some with their mind, some with their soul, some with their body, their strength, but love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you hear him. The shepherd speaks to each of us uniquely, and I must respect your personal relationship with him, and you must respect mine. And yet the shepherd also leads us in flocks, folds. And that's an incredible blessing, because if the truth be told, most sheep simply follow the tail end of the sheep in front of them. And that's not a bad arrangement. In many ways, it can be safe for us. And so to hear the shepherd's voice more fully, you need the church, that is the flock, as he leads groups to green pastures. And so we're not a feedlot. We're a flock on the move. And our church is led by a session made up of elders who are pastors and laymen. And the elder's primary job then is not to run a business according to a manual. It's to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. And entering through him and by him, lead the flock to green pasture. So then the shepherd speaks, the sheep hear, they follow in peace and love without fear. He calls them each by name uniquely, and he leads them in flocks. But not every flock is always led by Jesus. So where can I hear him? How do I distinguish his voice? Well, the shepherd is Jesus. And his story and his words are recorded in Scripture. Jesus now speaks through Scripture. And when he speaks to you, the Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He speaks through Scripture. And he speaks in prayer and worship. We draw near to him and he draws near to us. He speaks through heart, soul, mind, and strength. He speaks through thoughts and impressions and visions, sensations, feelings, desires in worship. He speaks through other sheep. He even speaks through preachers. That one just blows me away. I mean, honestly, it really does at times, for there are times when I find out later that I spoke something that applied to something directly in a way that I could not have foreseen, and God spoke through me. And I had no clue when he did it. He speaks to other sheep. And God speaks through our circumstances, open and closed doors. He made the universe with a word. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. He's sovereign. He speaks, and the universe, like a womb, vibrates to the sound of his voice, the Father's voice. So think about it. We know that you heard him. When you said you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you heard him. How did he speak then? Well, let's see. Maybe you came to him because an English teacher sat you next to that weird kid. And because you forgot to do your homework, and so you cheated off his paper. And because his friend Alan Parsons needed a guy to drive on the double date, and so he called you because he had just won a swim meet, because normally he would have been too afraid. And because he was so nice and he let you cheat off his paper, you said yes. And because he invited you to youth group, and because you heard that one talk given by that weird youth pastor Gary, and it made you ask some questions, and because lying in your bed one night a demon appeared in your room, it terrified you, you grabbed your Bible, and the demon laughed, and you thought to yourself, maybe Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's not so ugly either. And so Susan Janine Coleman, now Hyatt, gave her life to Jesus the Christ. And where was the shepherd speaking? Everywhere. Everywhere. We think the issue is something like this. Well, he couldn't speak to me. He's not able, or I'm not able to hear him. Several years ago at a conference in Canada, where it was clear God was moving in just incredible, miraculous ways all around me, I told God that I was going to quit the ministry. Because he wasn't speaking to me, or I couldn't hear him. And to make a very long story very short, that night, I found myself pinned to the floor. It's never happened to me since then or before, but I was pinned to the floor by an unseen force. And my arms, I didn't understand this for a long time, but my arms were like stuck in a position of praise, as I was lying on my back up like this, and I felt this incredible pressure bearing down right beneath my wrist, and I thought that God was literally going to break my arms. It was awesome. And I was just filled with such incredible joy. And I believe God showed me at that moment that he had been speaking to me all my life. Wherever I had loved him, he was speaking. And that I needed to stop worrying about his speaking to me. You know, I think it's when I'm just filled with stress and worry about hearing that I stop hearing. But this is my point. He can break your arms if he wants to. So relax. It wasn't until years later, I mean, I told you some of that story, and I never thought of this till years later. I remembered that I always seemed to pray that prayer, break my arms if I'm out of your will. And I guess doubting that he loved me and that he spoke to me and that I should leave the ministry, I was out of his will. And he showed me he could break them if he wanted to. You see, we think the issue is that he's not able to speak. And I'm not able to hear, and I think the issue for him is this. Do you want to hear? If you want to hear, you are. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging Him, He'll make your path straight. You see, He can move the path under your feet. We cry and we ask, which way to go, God? And He can move the path under your feet while you step. He's that powerful. In the case of my wife, He used seating chart, swim team, me, youth group, hormones, a demon from hell, scripture, all to get my wife on the right road, or to get the right road under her feet. Kierkegaard wrote this, the road is how it is walked. Did you get that? The road is how it is walked. That is, walk by faith in Jesus, and the road will be under your feet. Well, whatever the case, love Jesus and stop stressing, but do this. Spend more time seeing Him, looking at Him in Scripture, listening to Him in Scripture, worshiping Him in church, loving Him in people, thanking Him in all circumstances, and keep trusting. And I imagine that over time, you'll come to understand His voice more and more. Not just blah, blah, fluffy, blah, blah, but blah, blah, fluffy, lie down, blah, blah. But now, what do you do when another sheep walks up to you at church and says this? Hey, the shepherd just spoke to me. And He said this. He said that He loves you thoroughly. And because you have been so patient, He will soon lead you to the high meadow and you will feast on the greenest grass. What do you do with that? I mean, what do you do with talking sheep? Talking sheep that understand English. Well, be careful. Because it could be somebody trying to get a job. Or it could be God. That's what Scripture calls prophecy, or a word of knowledge. Clearly, all sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, but clearly, according to Scripture, in some instances, at sometimes in certain places, as a gift, God will give sentences and phrases and visions, even paragraphs, directly to some sheep for the purpose of encouragement, strength, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3. And we're not to treat prophecies with contempt. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. For in fact, 1 Corinthians 14:1, we're to especially desire that gift because 1 Corinthians 14:4 is it's to edify the church. But 1 Corinthians 5:21, we are to test it. And prophets are subject to the elders, the overseers in the church. And clearly, New Testament prophets are imperfect in their prophecies. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Our prophecies are imperfect. And so if someone comes up to you after church and says, I believe God just told me to tell you, yada, 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 don't freak out. Don't freak out. Because words of knowledge and prophecy in the New Testament church are meant to clarify the voice of the shepherd and encourage, strengthen, and comfort. And they're not foreign to you. Why? Because you already know His voice. You know Him. He loves you. Let Him use other sheep if He wants to bless you with clarity. You know His voice. And since we all hear the shepherd's voice, all of His sheep hear the shepherd's voice, we're all called to test and discern the spirits and the voices rather than stone them to death like false prophets in the Old Covenant. And I'm really grateful for that because there's huge liability issues surrounding that. I mean, imagine if after every Livingstone service we had to kill the people that were wrong. It'd just be a nightmare. But if someone comes up to you and says, God says, yada, 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 it could be Jesus. In which case, rejoice. Or it could be a wacko. In which case, smile and walk away. But you may still say, well, how do we distinguish wackos from Jesus? How do we recognize the hireling, the employee, the guy that's just out for his own gain? How do we recognize the thief out to steal and destroy? How do we recognize the counterfeit? The Royal Canadian Police trained their detectives to discern counterfeit bills. And during the training, they never allow them to look at a counterfeit bill. They must so thoroughly study the genuine article that anything else will immediately be exposed. And in the same way, we can thoroughly study, or at least begin to study, look at the shepherd in Scripture. He is the genuine article. And the voice of the shepherd today will never contradict his voice in Scripture. And Scripture tells us, as it does here, that the good shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep, the one who lays his life down for the sheep. And so we're not to follow voices that simply promise us wealth and power and comfort as if there's no cross involved. We're not to follow voices that merely flatter us and tell us everything is okay as if we are our own savior. Or voices that seek to make deals and trades and business arrangements, like emails that say, you know, do this, this, and this, but don't erase this email. Send it on. We're not supposed to follow voices that want to make deals all the time as if the grace of God is something that could be purchased. We're to follow the voice of the one who lays his life down for us, the one who loves us truly. The voice of love. He is love, and in this is love, that the Father gave his own Son to be an expiation for our sins. In this is love, that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I wish I had more formulas for you. I really do. But you see, we're not following a map. We're following a person, a shepherd. Remember, Thomas said, Jesus, we don't know the way. Jesus, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. How do we know him? He's the one who lays his life down for the sheep. Six chapters later in John, Thomas is doubting that it was Jesus that the other disciples had seen resurrected. And Jesus appears to Thomas and he says, Thomas, see my hands. That's how Thomas knew him. I read about a little orphan boy who lived with his grandmother in an old two-story house. One night the house caught fire. His bedroom was upstairs. In an effort to try and save him, the grandmother died. As the house was engulfed in flames, neighbors came and stood outside as the house burned. And then the crowd heard the sound of the little boy in his upstairs bedroom crying for help, and nobody knew what to do because by now the house was just engulfed in the flames. And suddenly, from the back of the crowd, a stranger ran around the back of the house. He saw an iron pipe that went up the back by a window in a bedroom. He disappeared for a moment and then appeared in the boy's bedroom window. And with the little boy clinging onto his neck, he climbed out onto that hot iron pipe, red hot because of the flames. And he climbed down the pipe and in the process burned his hands. Later that week, the town had a town meeting at the courthouse to decide what would be done with the boy and who might adopt him. There were several different people that wanted to adopt the boy. And so the judge allowed each of them to speak for a moment. And so a man came forward and he said, I'm a farmer. I've got horses, I've got land, I've got what every little boy needs, and I'd like to adopt him. And the boy sat in front staring at the floor. After that, a teacher stood up and he said, I have more books than anyone in town, and I could give this boy an incredible education. I'd like to adopt him. And then he sat down. A third man came up. He was a rich man. He said, I have more money than anyone in our community. I could buy the farm. I could buy all the books he needs. I could get this boy anything he wants. And still the little boy was staring at the floor in sorrow. The rich man sat down. And the judge said, is there anyone else interested in adopting the boy? Anyone else that would like to speak? And at that, a stranger stood up in the back of the courtroom. He walked to the front with his hands in his pockets, stood in front of the little boy staring at the floor, and without saying a word, pulled his hands out of his pockets. Everybody in the courtroom gasped, because they were burned and scarred and disfigured. He held them in front of the little boy, and the little boy gasped with joy, jumped up, threw himself into the arms of the stranger. And at that, the farmer stood up and walked out. Teacher stood up and walked out. Rich man stood up and walked out. And that day, the little boy followed his new daddy to green pastures. And you see, the point is this. He chose correctly. He heard correctly. He discerned correctly. He chose the one who laid down his life. Or better yet, you could say the stranger chose the little boy the day he decided to climb the hot drain pipe. Jesus climbed up on a cross and chose you. To discern the voice of God, look at this cross and ask yourself, who loves you? Who loves you? And so, Father, we thank you for speaking. You spoke the universe into existence with a word. And in many and various ways, you spoke to the fathers, but in these days, you have spoken to us through a son. And the son is that word, Jesus. And you wrapped him in flesh. We placed him in a manger and crucified him on a cross. And through him you speak. Lord God, there are some here this morning who've never given their life to you, I imagine. And they hear all kinds of different voices. Buddha, perhaps. Muhammad. Carl Sagan. How do you decide? Well, this is my advice. Look at their hands. Who loves you? I know there are a million philosophical, rational questions, and they can all be addressed, but the bottom line is this. Do you want to be loved like that? If you do, silently in your heart, just say, Lord God, I'm yours. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus, for climbing up on that cross, dying in my place, for my sins. Because now, Jesus, you got me. I believe and help my unbelief. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not going to ask you to do anything publicly right now, but you ought to go to this baptism service. You need to tell people about it. But I want to encourage you. Jesus is with you. In fact, just say that. Jesus, make your home in me, your spirit in me. And you see, he leads you. He's the good shepherd. And he can address all those questions in his time. And he will help your unbelief. But he's the one that loves you. And Lord God, I imagine that there are some here, they've heard your voice a lot, very clearly. You've been speaking to them, saying things like, stop sleeping with her. Stop drinking so much. Forgive your mother. Love your kids. Go back to your kids. If that's you, do you understand who it is that's speaking to you? To disobey him is literally utter insanity. And when you do, look at his cross. Look at his hands. It hurts him. Repent. And Lord God, I imagine that there are some here, they've been walking in the wilderness. And they've been wondering, does God even love me? Do I hear him? Lord Jesus, I pray that through this sermon you would remind them that you love them so thoroughly, that you suffer for them in all eternity. You have borne their iniquity. You take their shame. And that, Lord Jesus, because they so earnestly want to hear you, they do hear you. And their faith in the midst of the wilderness is a great, great treasure for all eternity to you. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking. Thank you that we hear. Thank you that we're yours. Thank you that you lead us to the greenest pastures forever and ever. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.